Hi people, welcome back to Dr. Sam's Musings and welcome to season 4 of my podcast. I mean, if nothing motivates you to just start something, I hope that this podcast does, because honestly, I cannot believe that I'm actually starting season 4, something that started on just a whim. And here we are, over almost 6,000 plays and, you know, increasing. I do not know where I'm going with this podcast. It's not something that I'm thinking about, you know, doing anything with. Like I said, I've just been blessed with many words. And sometimes I feel like just speaking something and having it out there. And this has just given me the best, you know, means to do so without the hassle of having dressed up for recording videos. So half the time that I record this podcast, I'm doing so in my pajamas on my bed. And the convenience of that is just like so unbelievable. So as I always like to do, I'm going to start by saying that, look, this is an imperfect podcast. There's nothing about it that is perfect. I do not even edit, so you might hear my lip smacks, my breathing, the sound of my air conditioning. One of my kids can decide to pop in. It's all part of the flavor. Anyway, so this season, I've decided that I'm going to keep things like very random, because last season, I think I shot myself in the foot by trying to have a proper theme. But this season, I'm just going to keep things random and just go with the flow, as is what comes more naturally to me. And to kickstart this season, I'm going to be jumping on the October bandwagon and talking about breast cancer and awareness and just generally taking care of yourself for yourself. So as someone who has a double family history of cancer, my grandmother passed from breast cancer, my father passed from prostatic cancer, and there's cancer on both sides of my family. I do not, you know, joke around with, you know, with cancer and taking care of myself and reminding people to take care of themselves. And this is another opportunity to do so. So October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and you'll be seeing the pink ribbon everywhere. You'll see a lot of people talking about breast cancer and whatnot. But what I realize is that the more there's a message being passed, sometimes it has the absolute negative effect in that people get desensitized to it. People scroll past it and things like that. So I'm hoping that by hearing my voice, maybe if you've become desensitized to the whole breast cancer awareness thing, you might just, you know, listen this time around. So the thing about breast cancer is that is one of those types of cancer that if you detect it early, your chances of survival are really, really high. But as with everything, Nigerians, if I think all Africans, we like to stick our heads in the sand. We like to God forbid things. We like to assume that it can never happen to us. It's something that happens to people far, far, far away. But cancer is something that, you know, doesn't respect anybody, regardless of your socioeconomic status, regardless of your religion, regardless of your looks, regardless of who you are. Cancer strikes when it wants to strike. And we're literally all sitting ducks, because every single day, there's something that they're finding out that is carcinogenic that some of us have indulged in for years, or we continue to indulge in. So ultimately, we're just sitting ducks. We should try to do our best and hope that, yeah, it doesn't catch up to us. But it being said that we're sitting ducks doesn't mean that we shouldn't try our best to keep it at bay. And I remember a statement that one of my superiors made when I was a house officer. A patient had terrible, terrible lung cancer. And the consultant had said, you know, thing about illnesses like lung cancer is that you feel like you die a double death. The first death is the death that you feel as though you did this to yourself, because the man was an avid chain smoker. And note that I said avid and chain smoker in one sentence. He was a non-repentant chain smoker. In fact, his family were telling us that even after the diagnosis came, you know, he was so addicted to smoking that he didn't even stop. So, you know, when the realization hit and his health really, really deteriorated, you know, the guilt that comes with knowing I kind of did this to myself, and then he was, you know, terminal. We knew that he wasn't going to make it. Knowing that, oh my God, I could have prevented this if I had quit the smoking, if maybe I hadn't smoked at all. So they die a kind of like double death when they get to a terminal stage. So if you can do certain things to keep cancer at bay, why won't you do it? Why won't you, you know, eat healthy? Why won't you avoid smoking? Why won't you avoid alcohol? Why won't you, you know, exercise and avoid non-carcinogens like processed meats and things like that? Why won't you do those things if you know that they can reduce the chances of you getting this horrible, horrible disease? you know, we as Africans, because we're very prayerful, we assume that, you know, once I've done certain things and once I've prayed, I can keep things at bay. And I always ask that, do you think that people that pray more than you don't get certain illnesses? And cancer is a very, very, very expensive illness to have. It's not one that you can even afford, literally and all pun intended, to mess around with. So I always tell people, why not just take basic precautions? Go for your annuals. If you're 40 and above, women, get a mammogram. If you're not up to 40, at least do a breast scan. Do, you know, your full blood work. Do your self-breast examinations monthly, right after your period, and little things like that. If you notice anything, get it checked out. I cannot tell you how many cases that presented when I was a house officer that they saw the lumps, they felt the lumps, they saw the dimpling, they saw the little ulcer on their boobs, but the fear of hearing the words kept them from coming to the hospital. The fear of hearing the words. And I'm like, you can see that there's something wrong with you, but you feel like hearing it will make it real. When hearing it early can be the difference between life and death. So a lot of people presented when the thing has started to metastasize, meaning it has, you know, spread to other parts of the body, when it could have easily been contained. There was a lady that came and said she didn't want to come early because she knew that they were going to say they had to cut off her boob. And eventually, they didn't just cut off one breast, they cut off two breasts, and she still had metastases. So it's like you're sticking your head in the sand, and the sand is piling on your head, and everything is still going on around you. It doesn't stop things from happening. You're just delaying the inevitable. Cancer is not something that resolves. It's not like having, you know, malaria that, or maybe a common cold. Even malaria, if you don't treat it, can become complicated. But some people don't treat malaria, and the thing kind of just goes away by itself. I don't know how true that is, but I've heard people say that. It's like having a common cold, like a viral infection, and you don't treat it, it can go away by itself. Cancer is not going to go away by itself. It's going to keep getting fed. And cancer is a poison. The more it grows, the more it poisons other things in your body. So it's not something that you want to pray away, or you want to pretend it's not there and then it'll go away. It's one thing, it's something that you want to say, oh, but I feel okay. That means that my own is not so bad. I remember one of my friends who told me about this cousin of hers that had been diagnosed with cancer, and she wanted me to kind of like do a breast examination for her and just convince her, because the lady was just not convinced that there was anything wrong with her. She was just, because she was in good health, she lived in the village, she was fine. Like, to her, she was like, they say that she has this thing, but she doesn't feel as if there's anything wrong with her. The moment this woman took off her bra, I didn't even have to palpate. I didn't even have to do anything. The peau d'orange, like peau d'orange appearance, is like orange skin appearance, and it's like a dimpling of the skin. It was glaring. It was like medical school, you know, perfect, something that you can use to teach medical students. And then when I started to actually palpate the lumps in this woman's breasts, I was like, how do you assume that this is normal? How have you been going about with these things in your breasts, and you assume that it's okay to have these things? But she just kept laughing and saying, come on, headache, she doesn't that there's nothing, that if she wants to cut the breast, let them cut the breast. She's not using the breast for anything again. She's a divorcee, her children are grown, she's not breastfeeding. She could come and cut the breast. And I was trying to explain to this woman that, look, this thing is beyond just cutting your breast, because at that time the cancer had even spread. It's beyond just cutting your breast. It's having to, you know, have certain kinds of treatments that would affect the quality of your life for a while. So you have to make informed decisions about, you know, child care for your children and things like that while you go through these things, because you will not be able to take care of them once you start doing things like chemotherapy or radiotherapy that would greatly debilitate you. And she was just very blasé about it. I'm like, I kid you not, in less than 6 months, this woman was gone. She literally passed on. And they had to split up her children amongst relatives and things like that. So that's the thing about cancer. You know, you might assume that, oh, but I'm okay. But I mean, it's just a little lump, but I'm okay. And the way that it speeds up would shock the heck out of you. My dad was first diagnosed with cancer 14 years ago. And he had done treatments. He was in remission up until last year when he started having certain symptoms around September, October. And by May of this year, my father was gone. That's how brutal cancer can be. You have to be extremely proactive about keeping it at bay, because it's a lot easier, a lot cheaper to keep it at bay than trying to treat it. So today I'm going to talk about, you know, breast cancer and the things that you can look out for on your own. If you haven't learned, please just go on Google or YouTube and learn how to do a proper self breast examination. And as with any examination in medicine, it always starts with like physical appearance by looking in the mirror. You look at you look at both breasts and check for any noticeable, you know, differences or changes that weren't there before. You put your hand on your hip and on your waist and squeeze slightly to see if there's any puckering or peau d'orange appearance. You do that from frontal view, side view, and then you learn how to, you know, check for nipple discharges, how to palpate in quadrants, and the extent of palpation, because some people just go around their breast tissue and nipples. They don't extend into the axillary region, which is the armpit region. They don't extend into, you know, the breastbone region, which is your sternum region, and they just miss some things. And you have to also realize that breast cancer doesn't always manifest as lumps. So you might not have a lump. Some people have had breast cancer, you know, detected only from their full blood work. When their indices are all over the place, and then they do further investigation, is when they're like, okay, you know what, let's check XYZ places, and they realize that they have breast cancer. They didn't have any lump. There was a lady that presented with just like pain behind, you know, her chest bone. So it presents in different ways, which is why they ask us to do like annual medical checkups and things like that. So when you learn how to do a self-breast examination, what it does is that once there's any anomaly, you already know what normal looks like. So once there's any anomaly, it's easier to detect. It's faster to detect. There's some people that is actually their partners that detect lumps in their breasts. Your spouse just be like, oh, there's something. I can feel something in your breasts. And then you get it checked out and it's a lump. And I have to chip in here as well that not all lumps are cancerous. There are many, many benign non-cancerous lumps. They're lipomas. There are all sorts of masses that can grow in your breast. It can even be, if you've recently breastfed, it might even just be like a blocked duct or something. It's not always cancer. So don't let the thought of finding a lump scare you from doing the right thing. And what you should also realize is that even if a lump is not benign, if you leave it in your breast long enough, it can actually become malignant. It can actually grow into a cancerous lump. So it's very important when you find these things to immediately report to a doctor so they can tell you the next steps to make. The surgery to remove like a lipoma or a lump in your breast is so fast and easy, and it could be the difference between life and death for you. You know, the biopsy of that thing, the analysis of that discharge that is coming from your breast, that little, you know, investigation might be the difference between life and death for you. So I'm imploring everybody listening to this, if you don't do your annual medical checks, especially if you're like 35 years old and above, please give it to yourself. What I do is, it's my birthday present to myself every year. Find a trusted diagnostic center. I use Femcare. This is not a plug. They're the ones I've been using for 35 years. And just go and do what you have to do. They'll check your blood, your urine, your feces. You do your scans, you do your ECG. You do everything that needs to be done. Like for example, my cholesterol this year has gone up from last year. So I know that I need to start checking the intake of certain kind of foods that I eat. Because we're at the age, I'm 40, I'm going to be 41. I'm at the age where my health is honest, is going to start declining, regardless of how much I want it to or not. I cannot be at optimal health or at peak health at 50 as I was at 25, for example. So the onus is on me to make sure that, you know, that decline is as, you know, optimal to my livelihood and to my life as possible. So I'm not going to just let things go on a free fall. I'm going to, you know, try and quote unquote fight nature for a bit. And it's important that we do so, because all of us have all these dreams and plans that we cannot, you know, bring to life if we don't have good health. And yes, we're all religious people and we're all spiritual people, and we know that God is in control. But in Islam, it says tie your camel and then have faith. So you have to play your part, and then you trust that God will consolidate upon that, or you hope and pray that God will consolidate upon that, and then, you know, do what is best for us. But you cannot sit still, rest your back, eat all the rubbish in the world, and assume that it will not catch up with you. I know people in their 30s, 40s that are already struggling with, you know, walking long distances, walking up the stairs, people that are already having back pain in their 30s and 40s, and it only gets worse with age. So we have to start being very, very careful with what we put in our mouth. Are we poisoning ourselves, or are we, you know, feeding ourselves? We have to be very careful. Things like processed meats, like, it's been announced over and over again that these things have been classified as carcinogens, type A carcinogens, like top of the line carcinogens. But they taste good, yes. So things like frankfurters and sausages and deli meats and things like that are not things that you should be consuming on a regular basis. Like in my house, they're banned. We don't buy those things in my home. So I'll buy sausages, for example, maybe for one event in a year or two events in a year, and that's it. Because they do have a cumulative effect. Nobody's saying if you eat one sausage, you're suddenly going to have cancer. But if you're bombarding your system with this poison that your body is not able to, you know, get out as much as it's coming in, then you're predisposing yourself to certain things. So know the things that are good for you. Know the cancer-fighting, you know, foods, and eat those things. Little things like drinking golden tea that is powerless with antioxidants, things like eating sour soup and tomatoes and things that are heavily packed with antioxidants. Just know what you put in your mouth. Eat as natural as possible. Buy things like your poultry from trusted sources. There are many people now that are in true organic farming in Nigeria. Try and support those companies, HHMANA Green, Green Finite, all people that are bringing poultry and vegetable source that are not riddled, Salma's Garden, that are not riddled with, you know, pesticides and all these things that are damaging to our system. Buy from trusted sources. Avoid things that have been proven to be carcinogenic, and eat healthy. Eat from nature, not from industries as much as you can. You know, limit processed sugar, refined sugar, limit your processed like bleached, just limit the things that, you know, have been proven to be, you know, detrimental in the long run. And nobody's saying cut anything out of your system, but just saying limit them. If you don't know the source of something, like for me, I've never ever been comfortable with things like instant noodles. So I don't stock it in my pantry. There are things that, oh, maybe if you go to the supermarket and my child is like, oh, I feel like eating Indomie, I'll say, okay, pick two or pick four. But I don't stock it in my pantry anymore. Like, we used to have cartons and cartons of Indomie noodles, and the nannies and the kids will eat it at will. No, now it's like an occasional treat. And even though the kids can probably even get away with it, we can't. So it's better just to avoid it as much as possible. So eat healthy, eat as organic as you can, and be well informed. If you don't know to do better, then you cannot do better. Be well informed. Know the things that you should be eating, the things that your kids should be eating, and stay away from the things that they shouldn't. Feed yourself from nature and not from industries as much as you can. So I'm hoping that with these few, you know, tips that I've shared, you would take an active role in safeguarding your health, in trying to keep cancer at bay by eating well, by doing your annual checks, by learning how to give yourself a self-breast examination, and by staying informed and knowledgeable. We're hoping that, you know, all the headway that has been made with research, I was reading recently that there might be vaccination against cancer by 2030. We don't know when or how accessible those things will be, so we cannot be reliant on them. But we hope that God in his mercy would help us find a cure to this thing sooner than later. But in the interim, let us play our part to make sure that our health is optimal. Workout. I keep saying move, no matter how little. Move your limbs, get your heart pumping, try and keep your, you know, body in optimal form. It will avoid alcohol, avoid smoking. And as you got smoking, people say, I don't smoke cigarettes, but you are vaping and you're taking e-cigarettes and all those things. These things, shisha, they're detrimental. They're seriously, seriously carcinogenic. So be careful about these things that seem recreational but are doing so much damage to you, knowingly or unknowingly. So that's my little talk today. Take your health seriously. If you want to be dancing at your children's weddings, if you want to be the funky grandma, if you want to be able to travel the world in your old age and just relax and have a good time, you need health to do all these things. So let's just play our part and then let God do the rest. Have an amazing rest of the week, guys, and I will be here again next week. Bye.